Everyone, welcome to Office Hours with Cloud Posse, where we discuss the latest DevOps news, AWS announcements, and Terraform insights, all sourced from our SuiteOps community, plus a live Q&A you can't find anywhere else. I'm your host, Eric Osterman. It's July 30th, 2025. Real quick, I'm the founder and CEO of Cloud Posse. Cloud Posse sells AWS reference architectures that get you production ready in just 2 weeks. So if you're curious to learn more about that, just go to cloudposse.com. Now, how can you maximize today's session? First off, our format is very informal. Engage as much as you'd like, ask questions. And if you're curious about any of our open source tools like Atmos, this is a great place to ask. And for those in the recording, we host these calls live, so don't miss out. You can join us live by registering at cloudposse.com/officehours, cloudposse.com/officehours. I do have one ask. If you find any portion of today's session valuable, share it with your team. That's how we spread the knowledge and get everyone on the same page. So with that said, let's jump into what caught my attention this week. All right, first one was a utility that was created by Clutch Security. What I learned from this was I didn't know about this policy that Amazon automatically applies to compromised IAM keys. These are keys that they've detected through their own channels, have appeared in discussion forums, GitHub, commits, and stuff like that. Well, the thing is, unlike GCP, apparently, Amazon just attaches that policy and says, like, hey, you do something now. So this lets you do something with that. This will automatically decommission any IAM users associated with a compromised key immediately upon seeing this policy attached. Now, the bigger red flag is that you're using IAM users to begin with, but I guess that's probably common still, unfortunately, in certain enterprise environments. Anyways, thought I'd share that. I hadn't seen that tool around or known about this behavior that Amazon has. Anyone have any experience? You don't have to disclose if it was you or you overheard it. All right. Next one. So we did a small release just today, 1.184. What this does in Atmos is does some optimizations for the Terraform state function. We recently introduced this a few releases back. If you're not familiar with Atmos, Atmos is a framework for Terraform that we developed here at Cloud Posse and been running for quite a number of years. It's a great way to declaratively define the configuration that defines your architecture, and it's all done in YAML. So we have these YAML functions, which are technically explicit tags, I believe is the term in YAML terminology, that allow us to add functions as first-class citizens in YAML. And this is one example of that. So this allows us in the YAML to retrieve the value from any other component in your infrastructure and get the outputs. We've supported similar functionality in Atmos for a long time, but this is the first time we've done it where we read directly from the state, which is really fast. Right now, we only support local state, useful for testing, and S3, but we wrote it in a kind of extensible manner. So if you want to have support for your backend, we would accept any pull requests for that. So yeah, we've seen a tremendous speed up. And I think moving from reading Terraform outputs to Terraform state was like a 10x improvement. And with some of the optimizations in this pull request, I think it was a further 3x improvement or something. And soon we're going to be making this parallel. So it's really fast. The other thing we did in this release was we accepted a pull request from Makary. Forgive me for not knowing how to say that. I can't believe we didn't support this already, but Atmos has this pretty cool feature. We use it a lot at Cloud Posse. The feature I'm thinking of is called custom commands. So implement custom commands. So when you implement custom commands in Atmos, it lets you tie all your tools underneath Atmos so that you have a consistent interface for your developer team or DevOps team to use. And then that can call out to any of your other tools. Why this is better than Make or Task Runners or things like that is that it supports named arguments that you can have. You can have flags, positional arguments, you can have default values for those. And we use it, for example, at Cloud Posse, where we have hundreds of repositories. One of the things we rolled out in the past few months was a centralized configuration. So how we manage our, boy, you'd think that GitHub search would have that one figured out. GitHub. So here are some centralized configurations for Atmos that we have at our Cloud Posse GitHub. This is how we're managing our repos, and here's an example of using custom commands. So when you run Atmos, you can run Atmos dash dash help, and then it presents the list of commands available. One of those commands is test, and then we have three sub-commands to test that each can be run very easily here. So this is what we've extended support for now with default values for flags. So you can now have a flag for like the stack and then have a default value for that. So here's an example of one of those flags. And defaults are now supported. All right. I feel like there was one more thing there I forgot to talk about. Planned if. Oh, yeah. So we talked about last week about one of the nice patterns when you're using Terraform and GitHub Actions is to automatically apply change. Well, okay, so take a step back. So typically in Terraform, in a CI context, what you want to do in a pull request is review the plan before you apply it, right? You don't know what, looking at the code as a human, you can have a sense of what it does, but you don't actually know what it does until you see the plan. So best practice, always look at the plan. And then when you merge that into main, if you apply after merge, then you want to take the plan that you just approved and apply that. Now there's a problem, and that is that if any other pull request went in at the same time, around that time, there's a chance that that plan is now invalid and is going to give you an error. So you have to replan. But if you replan, then do you have to look at the plan again? Well, as a human, we would really prefer to only look at that plan again if there were changes. And Terraform doesn't present an easy way to do that, to do a diff between two plans. So we have a sub-command in Atmos called plan diff, and that lets you compare the diff between any two plans so that if there is no diff, then, for example, in your reply action or your reply workflow, you can automatically apply that safely, knowing nothing has changed, even though technically the plan is not bit for bit the same. All right, that's planned if. So we had a bug in our planned if for larger plans. There was an issue, and that was fixed in this release as well. And here's that time where I get signed out. One second. All right, back in, sharing screen again. There we are. All right, so that was that feature. Michael Rosenfeld shared this update here. Pretty remarkable that you couldn't forcefully terminate an EC2 instance without waiting for the OS to gracefully shut down, respecting the graceful shutdown process. So now you can forcefully terminate instances, sparing a few seconds on shutdown. So that's nice. especially when you're dealing with ephemeral instances. Why should you care about graceful shutdowns, right? Kind of makes no sense. Another interesting update was immutable releases are coming to GitHub. So GitHub's been doing a lot of things to improve trust in supply chains. Repository or organizational rule sets, you can now create rules to prevent to that make basically tags immutable, and that make that control who or what can override that immutability. Well, releases is similar to tags, but not exactly the same. And they're going to make releases immutable as well. So this is in a preview right now. So hopefully it'll be GA by the end of the year. And here was something I thought would be interesting to discuss. I don't think this is a viable approach, but I've never seen it mentioned anywhere, so worth a discussion. So this is a radical approach. So imagine if you ran Terraform without a state backend, a proper state backend, and instead you just defined all the resources directly in the import block so that every time you're running Terraform, you're really just working with what you see is what you get in the code base, if you will. So what they've done here is they created a shell script that basically generates the imports.tf file with the import blocks that you would need, so that you could run this technically without a backend. I mean, you will still have a backend. It's just that you don't care about preserving the state of that backend. You can discard it. Any thoughts on this? I'd never seen it mentioned before.
Trying to understand the why. What's the benefit of this approach?
Well, the benefit is that now you have everything in Git, for example. So, but yeah, to your point, like, well, then why don't you just commit the state file? And you basically get the same approach.
Well, not even the same. You get a fair bit more because you have like the dependencies and the relationships, which you lose when it's just a list of import blocks, eh? Like, for example, if you were to create an RDS, the security groups that go with it, the rules that go with it, any IAM roles that you use, if you're using just regular Terraform, it has all this relationship graph between them, so one has to be provisioned before the other. Going about it this way, you lose that altogether, no?
You would well That's an interesting assertion. So first of all, I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
Sure,
But
sure.
yeah, I don't know that that's true, but I don't have hands-on experience with that. Are you saying that Terraform wouldn't do things in dependency order just because you have imports? Because technically then you don't need to do it in dependency order because it's already been provisioned.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, how do you get, isn't this
Okay.
the chicken and egg thing of how do you get there in the first place?
Let's see what if he talks about. I believe the main use case was that you have then everything in HCL, so
Gotcha.
you can when something changes, you see that it changes. Kind of like one of the nice things about using SOPs to encrypt secrets and committing that is that you see when those secrets change in in your Git commits without leaking what the actual secrets are. This is kind of like if you have the actual raw AWS resource IDs in Git, well, then you also can track when those change, search your code base for those, right? When it's all in a S3 bucket, it's opaque to you. You can't search for that resource ID, for example.
Right, okay.
But in a GitOps manner, I don't see this as being a convenient thing that one could securely do, managing automatic updates of those resource IDs and import blocks. And obviously having a shell script do all this makes me queasy. All right. Any other thoughts on this one? All right. Last one was just a minor announcement. OpenTofu has officially been accepted into the CNCF. And previously, they were part of the Linux Foundation. As part of this, they are moving their Slack from a self-hosted Slack workspace that was unpaid and becoming a channel inside of the CNCF Slack. So if you're already part of the CNCF Slack, you don't need to do anything. You just need to join the new OpenTofu channel. And this is supposed to be taking effect. Well, you can start doing this now, and I think it's supposed to, like, they're going to begin decommissioning the current Slack July 31st, I believe. So definitely starting August 1st, if you're engaged in the OpenTofu community, make sure you're in the CNCF OpenTofu channel. Yeah, that's it. That's all I got. Let's check out the Zoom chat. Anything else interesting here? Does not look like it. Yeah, anything catch your attention this week?
I don't remember if it was this week or if it was or how early, long ago it was. But I had recently found out that the AWS network firewall, you could do direct transit gateway attachment. That was finally being supported, air quotes, finally. It was back in June that they put it in the SDK, Go version 2. So you no longer need a. Oh, it wasn't that. It was the. You could attach a transit in this. You could do it in the same account, I think, pr previously. But now they have in Terraform an acceptor that you can put on the AWS network firewall so that it can live in a different account than the transit gateway. That's what it was.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because I was going through making that inspection VPC, and then I was like, I'm gonna have to pay double every time I use the any traffic, right? So
Yeah, I'm a little bit less. I know we create that inspection VPC for customers. I know we have it all automated in Terraform, but it sounds like it would still be beneficial, but I don't know the specific details. I'll bring that up to Andre on our team. You'll probably be excited. Do you have the link for that announcement?
yeah, just put it in.
All right, sweet. Let me share that. Cool. Any other interesting announcements or comments on that one?
I mean, the only thing that I would say about it is it's a little misleading on the actual announcement, right, that I just put in chat, because it says now supports native integration. And then when I was looking at Terraform and reading what the attachment is, if you look at the actual resource in the registry, it talks about the second account, right? If the transit gateway is in one account, and I was like, well, what if it's not in a second account? What if it's in the same account? Why would I need an acceptor for that? I haven't gone through all of it yet, but it's if you look at the ANFW resource, it just now it has, obviously now I haven't looked at it before, but VPC subnets and whatever else you needed to previously require it to be on a VPC are now optional or are optional.
Oh,
And
okay.
so you don't
Okay.
have to specify those anymore. You don't have to put it into a VPC.
That's cool. So let me put in my own words to see that I understand then. Because what we would do is we have like a transit account, and in the transit account, we deploy a separate VPC specifically for the network firewall. It would have a public subnet and a private subnet, and then we would attach the network firewall to the to those. And then we would use the transit gateway to route to that transit VPC, and then that would egress out to the internet, et cetera. You're saying now we don't need to have that specialized VPC anymore?
Yes. Completely
Interesting.
ripping it
That's
out.
cool.
And yeah.
That's cool. We've just done like two of these this month or three of these this month. So that's kind of
Yeah.
funny that announcement comes now. So that's relevant. Okay, I'll bring that up.
Yeah. 'Cause I was just about to create, mine.
Yeah, it's funny how that is. You can spend a lot of time doing a workaround and then only for Amazon to come out 2 months after you do it with an improved way of doing.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Thanks for bringing that up. Any other announcements?
I popped a link in the chat. It says, I guess vaguely SweetHealth related. It's a little feature in GitHub called the Command Palette. And first of all, I was curious, is that something you've used before?
These are all the keyboard shortcuts on GitHub?
Yeah, kind of
Or.
ish. So if you're on GitHub on any repo page, for example, and if you press Command K, does that open up anything for you? So say
That's
you
it,
can open up with any of
that's
the
usually for
SweetHealth.
search, right? But let's see here, GitHub.com, Cloud Posse, and Command K.
So it's doing nothing for you at the moment, right?
Yeah.
So now if you go on your little profile picture on the top right,
Yeah.
and then it's your feature preview option somewhere in the middle. Whoopsie-daisy.
Oops.
So it's in the sidebar, and then feature
Oh, there we
preview.
go. Yeah.
And then if you enable Command Palette, which is the second one right,
Ah, nice.
so this is
Cool.
a
Thank
super
you.
neat little feature where now if you reload the page or something, usually it's a Control K or a Command K. What this lets you do is effectively just like you would on your Mac, like a search, you can just pop in a few letters of your repo
Sweet.
or whatever, and you can just jump around wherever. And it does a lot more. It's not just repos, it does your repositories, your people. Super, super nifty feature. They've had it for a couple of years now, but it's always been behind this feature flag. And the only reason I bring it up now is just a couple of weeks ago, GitHub blog, the change.log blog mentioned, there wasn't too much activity on this. We're going to go ahead and withdraw this, we're gonna stop working on this. And there was a heck of a bit of a backlash on this with devs from everywhere citing this is great, I didn't even know about this until I read about it in the changelog. And some guys raised really good arguments like, hey, this is great for accessibility, I no longer need to click around, I can just be keyboard centric, like you're removing something super accessibility friendly. So now they've removed the stay of execution, it's back in again, and hopefully it will continue to get better. But I think this is a
That
super
is cool.
useful feature, which not a lot of people have known about.
Well, it seems really brain dead that they would consider not rolling it out, given the size of the investment that GitHub has done in redoing their search. But that, of course, that was all before the AI boom, and now anything that
True.
doesn't have AI as part of the release is like deprecated.
And that's one of those things as well, is that this one has really good fuzzy search as well. So, for example, if your repo has multiple words in it, if you use the first letter of each, it finds it for you. A lot of self-fuzzy searches are kind of basic in as much as you have to type it out exactly.
Yeah.
If you use the letter, it doesn't do it. And this is like one of those things where good old-fashioned programming, you don't need AI, you just need to know IntelliSense and it does it for you.
Yeah, there's a good blog post on, I forget exactly what it was called, but GitHub talking about what went into redesigning search for GitHub.
Ooh.
And yeah, so they really thought long and hard about how to do it and built it from the ground up to be fast. Because the other problem is the rate of change, right? That most search engines don't have to deal with is that the index is changing so frequently based on when things merge into main.
Gotcha.
Cool. Let's see. There were some
All that
other
to say, I
posts.
hope more people use it, and I hope it stays around for a bit longer.
So wait, but they are keeping it, or it's
They are keeping it. Yeah,
okay,
it should have been gone about 2 or 3 days ago, but now they've kept it on
okay.
because too many people complained.
Yeah.
And I feel like, at least for Microsoft, accessibility has usually been a really strong point. I think like their Xbox line, for example, I know that's gaming related, but they have really went hard in making their Git consoles as accessibility oriented as possible. They've gone as far as making, like, if you have impaired access, impaired vision, one con fewer than usual number of limbs, you can still play games because that's what they've invested in. That's what they've got. So it was a bit of a shooting yourself in the own foot, dropping that support here for no real reason.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Do we have Michael? No Michael Jenkins today. Okay. So, all right. Well, like I said, I'm on vacation right now, so a little bit checked out. Don't have that much material to discuss. Any questions we can get answered today on the show? Anything goes. It could be career related, DevOps related, Terraform, Kubernetes, Atmos.
How's the holiday going?
Pretty good. Yeah. We've
Nice.
been really lucky. I'm in Båstad right now, which is a town in the southern part of Sweden. And the weather report was like going to be rain all week. We booked this trip like a year ago, so we couldn't control that. But turned out no rain. So we're really, well, barely any rain.
Fair, fair. I
And
work for
trying
a
to
painting
develop.
company. Oh, sorry, go on.
Oh, I was just, flying to Belgium tomorrow. So I'm going to try some legit Belgian beer, Belgian chocolate, Belgian waffles.
I work for a Canadian company, and I'm one of the very few folks based in the UK. And it's been a weird year, in as much as almost everyone has been coming to the UK for holiday this year. And I'm starting to realize, oh, I wonder if it's because of recent events in the US that has made them reconsider.
Yeah, you never know. That's
Suddenly, Europe looks a lot better when Trump's in your set.
it's definitely a hot topic, but yeah, gonna stay clear of that topic
Fair,
office
fair.
hours. Yeah. Yeah. All right, any let's see, one more thing posted here. No. That was just a read AI thing. All right. Any nothing else interesting going on? Any new experiments, Rishav, on GitHub
Afraid
Actions and
not.
Terraform?
I'm still
No.
waiting on the Octo STS thing to go ahead, and we'll get access to test it, figure it out, but not as of yet.
Yeah. Okay. So
Although I did find
you're
out
waiting
one.
on X.
Yeah, and oh no, I'm waiting on our security team and all that.
Yeah. To granted. Yeah.
But I will say one thing I did realize in the last office hour, the one before, we talked about doing the apply after merge or merge after apply. I was doing a little bit more reading up on it, and it turns out, first of all, you've written a blog on this at the beginning of this year, which I hadn't realized.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. No. For sure. I wrote that when there was a heated post going on LinkedIn between Matt Gowey and like everyone and Terramate and all and everyone. So I
I'm
wanted to get my
so
voice
glad you
out there.
mentioned this because literally a couple of days ago, or I guess just a week ago, Terramate released a blog on the exact same thing. Basically doubling down on apply after merge. So you merge it, stuff for us, and then you apply. It's great to see that people have kind of arrived up to that conclusion. But I did figure out the thing I was doing about, oh, how about we consider using merge queues? Turns out merge queues is a GitHub Enterprise feature, and I had no idea. I was just under
Oh,
the assumption that
didn't
I have access
realize.
to it because I'm an open
Yeah.
source repo. So open source repos have it, and GitHub Enterprise have it. You don't have it under the usual GitHub teams. That's hard, I feel like. I don't know why that's behind the enterprise plan.
Yeah, but the more and more I work with GitHub and GitHub Enterprise, I really feel like the value is there. I believe it
Yeah.
was. Yeah, we've talked about it many times here on Office Hours. By the way, they have a startups program. So if you're a startup and you want to use GitHub Enterprise, you can check that out and apply for it. You might be accepted. You cannot securely use GitHub with GitHub Teams and do infrastructure and maintain a straight face that you have a compliant posture. There are so many things that you need from GitHub Enterprise, and that just seems to be another one of them. I didn't realize. Thank you. That's the problem when you do a lot of open source, right? You forget what's in open source versus enterprise. But yeah,
That's exactly it.
But environment secrets, like being able to scope environments to specific secrets to specific environments, being able to restrict the tags. So basically, anybody on your team can replace a tag unless you have a tag rule set, and the tag rule sets are only available on GitHub Enterprise. So I think the combination of those three or four things, it's an imperative to have GitHub Enterprise. Oh, approval gates, like if you want to approve a deployment before it goes out, you
Oh
can't do
yeah,
that.
that's another one. Yeah, just
Yeah,
take
you
those
can't do.
features for granted because you just have that for free, and then you realize, oh wait, if you pay for GitHub Team, you don't have that, and that just seems silly.
Yeah, so all of this I put forth in a love letter to GitHub on my R blog. I'm just kidding on the love letter part, but let's see here. Why GitHub Enterprise is worth it, even for small teams. So I don't know that I added merge queues to this, so that's why thanks for bringing that up. I didn't think about that, but that would be another one to go on this list. So for all of our customers, we recommend using GitHub Enterprise.
And on the topic of the startup thing you mentioned, I was looking through those GitHub Actions that Atmos have, including the Terraform plan and basically all of them. You have this tiny little verified badge along the right-hand side. Is that something you get as part of being like a startup thing, or do you have to apply for that as a technology partner or something?
No, anybody can apply to become verified. I believe you have to sign some agreement with GitHub, basically, so you have some skin in the game. But it's not a hard thing. Anybody, any organization, I think, can do that.
Is it something like a business thing? Like, do you need to transfer VAT IDs or something crazy like that? Or is it just not even that bad?
No, I think you can even go to your settings on GitHub. Now, this has been years ago, so I might not remember it. There might be a page for the marketplace, GitHub apps. What was actions? Actions here. General. Now, I believe there was even a link somewhere you could find here. You click there, and then you basically it's a click wrap agreement. You basically accept it, and I think you're good. I don't think there was anything more to it than that. And then like it's not immediate, but like a day or two later, then you're verified and that you get the verified badge on GitHub, on your GitHub Actions in the marketplace.
All right, yeah, that sounds pretty good. It's
Yeah.
one of those things, right? It's like Twitter verified? Nah, GitHub verified. That's what counts.
Yeah. It'll be nice when they have also the immutable actions, which looks like it's going to be. I was just checking the roadmap for GitHub, and as part of my weekly thing, and it looks like the immutable actions got pushed out to Q4 immutable actions in between October and December.
There are two GitHub features I've been waiting on for a long while. Immutable actions, obviously, that's a big one. And another one, and just a little bit of background, for the pages that you host, is this hosted on, I'm guessing it's not hosted out of GitHub Pages, is it, for your websites?
No, we graduated to Vercel at this point. Yeah.
Perfect. And I'm guessing
Vercel's been good.
you've been using the feature where, when you create a PR, Vercel creates a little PR branch preview for you automatically, so you can test it out even before you merge it, right?
Yeah, I mean they've really done a great job on that. There's almost nothing you need to do to get that working.
Guess who's not
And
done
it's
that great
protected.
of a job? Guess who's not done that great of a job is GitHub, who as of yet still don't support PR previews. So they have their whole GitHub
Yeah.
Pages thing, and you can host your website there free of charge, even on your own custom domain.
Yeah.
But you don't have something as basic as, hey, I've created a PR. Can you show me a preview of it? Doesn't exist as a concept.
The other thing you can't do is private ones unless you have GitHub Enterprise.
That's another one. And by the way, that is such an amazing feature, which I had no idea. Like, you can just make websites and only have them locked down to GitHub.org. That's brilliant.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah. And another one I need to add to the list. Let's see
It
what
is still a
else.
wee bit annoying that it has to be different domains. Each repo can only have like one subdomain, so you can't mix and merge different folders, like different file
Yeah.
paths. That's some anyway.
Yeah.
There were just, yeah, there were other annoyances with it. So I never fell in love with GitHub Pages really. But it is relatively convenient if it works for you.
I think to Vercel's credit, you also have a lot of the interactivity elements done for free by Vercel, like things like your contact forms, your submission forms. I think Vercel has little functions for that, don't they?
Yeah, it's basically a serverless platform around Next.js. Yeah, really, it's been amazing. I really am happy with Vercel. We use it for cloudposse.com and all the and Atmos Pro, our new service coming out at some point in the future.
Nice.
But yeah, we haven't announced that one yet, technically.
Exclusive scoop going up on YouTube in a couple hours.
Yeah, little teaser. All right, let's see. Any other, let's see some more posts here in the chat. Anything? Yeah, GitHub Action for Terraform. I really wish we could get GitHub Enterprise over Azure DevOps. So many tools already built out compared to ADO. Yeah, I'm really curious where that's going to land. Seems like Microsoft's attention is really focused on everything Copilot related. So any sort of merger or convergence on ADO and GitHub Actions, I think that's been pushed out years at this point.
Yeah, it's been fun with that.
But yeah, I did see some. I have seen teams, get their stuff running on ADO, and it looks pretty smooth, and they're happy with it. But what's your overall feeling for ADO?
So I've used them all. They're all similar. It's just more GitHub Actions has so much pre-built for it because a lot of tools like Atlantis, Atmos, all that has actions already built. Where with ADL, I have to build it out myself.
Yeah, that's true. And does ADO have a similar concept to actions? And does ADO even let you call actions at this point?
Not really. It has something, but it's not as good.
Yeah, that's remarkable.
Yeah, you would think something from Microsoft would be better.
Yeah. And your organization is not on GitHub Enterprise today, but they are on
Nope,
GitHub.
we're
Or
on just on Azure DevOps. We
okay.
don't have any GitHub. I've been working with my manager trying to get permissions to get us to do it, but
Yeah.
yeah.
And so when you're on ADO, you that it's its own hosted Git, kind of like AWS Code Commit used to be.
Yeah, it's
Interesting.
one of our biggest holdups. Actually, we still have scary enough TFS still running here in some places.
Wait, TFS?
Team Federation Services from Microsoft.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. Don't know that much about Azure or Microsoft services, so yeah, TFS, okay.
TFS is basically Subversion without the nice things.
Wow, that is old. Yeah, we've talked about it a few times on office hours, and it seems like it's too much of a moneymaker probably for Microsoft to keep ADO around, and the number of organizations committed to it, and the proposition of migrating people to GitHub Actions would probably be too large and significant. So I th think that convergence therefore wouldn't happen anytime.
Yeah, like I said, I'm just trying to get away from our team, away from Teams and ADO, because so we have more control and easier webhooks.
Yeah. All right. Any final questions today we can get answered, or interesting topics? Rashad, were you gonna say something?
No. I was just thinking, like, there was a time when GitHub Actions used to be ETL based, which was huge at the time. They had these
Oh
pipelines, which
yeah. That was in the beta though.
Yeah, and it's such a loss. I feel like that was really good. Like that had something to it.
It was interesting. There was something actually quite, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm in the camp that does really like YAML, but there was something really clean about it. And I'm curious. It would have been interesting if, why didn't they maybe just support both? But then
Yeah.
again, that would have made looking at examples painful, I guess. And then you'll get the camp wanting JSON, the masochists that want, hey, I want to write my pipelines in JSON.
And for the longest time, I did used to think that YAML is like a superset of JSON, and I think that is accurate. I think
It is,
YAML can
that is
represent
true.
everything. But
Yeah,
what
that
is
is
hard
true.
with YAML is the indentation, because with JSON, if you were to say pipe out error output and you want to store that in a value, super easy, because you can do backslash n and you can contain all your line returns and everything. Not so much with YAML. You really have to go out of your way to either escape those characters with like triple slashes, because it doesn't do any kind of carriage returns, and forget about having it broken over multiple lines because one of the special characters just breaks it.
The GitHub Actions are interesting. You're right that YAML is a superset of JSON, and GitHub Actions does support inline JSON, but I've never tried and never seen an example in the wild where the entire file was actually in JSON. Something tells me that GitHub would reject it if you tried to do that. The other thing is YAML anchors are not supported, which is annoying.
That's another one, yeah. And this is something GitLab has supported for the longest time, which, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's part of their story of drying up your config is to use anchors, because in GitLab, your pipelines get pretty large, I think the files.
Anyhow.
Yeah. All right. Well, maybe given I'm on vacation, we'll wrap up a little bit early today, get back to the family. Thanks everyone for your time today. I really appreciate all these office hour sessions. We never miss a single one. This is a special part of my week. So thank you for all attending. We'll be posting a recording to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/cloudposse. Again, that's youtube.com/cloudposse, where we have all the back catalog of our episodes. If you ever are interested in getting some support on your infrastructure and your DevOps strategy, we specialize in all things Terraform, Atmos, especially on AWS. So go to cloudposse.com/support to learn more about that. And lastly, if you want to get more embedded or sorry, I took that too literally, engaged in our community, go to cloudposse.com/slack. You can join our Slack community there. We've got a very active community, especially in our Terraform, AWS, and Atmos channels. Those are the best ones to attend. If you haven't yet registered for office hours, that's at cloudposse.com/office hours. When you add your email there, you'll get an invite via Google Calendar and our Google group to these sessions. And lastly, our podcast, which is just a syndication of our office hours in audio format. You can listen to it however you listen to podcasts. Thanks, everyone. Have a great rest of your week and see you back next week.
Take care.